Well, do we have any perfectionists in the room today? Anyone at all? Oh, you are. Tell me, what are you perfectionistic about, Jane?
My work.
Your work. Have you ever been perfectionistic about the holidays? Anyone ever want to create that perfect Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa? James has. Well, I was perfectionistic about the Christmas of 1991, and I had a very good reason for this, I thought. It was the first Christmas that we had celebrated as a new family, my new husband and my little 9-year-old stepdaughter, Elizabeth, and we hadn't gotten our marriage off to what I hoped would be a great start. See, Elizabeth's mother died when she was 3 years old, and she was sizing me up and hadn't decided that I was the perfect stepmother. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had about decided that I wasn't very well suited for the job either. But I hoped that if I could create the perfect Christmas and give that little girl a wonderful Christmas memory, that it might just last on into the new year, and it might give our new family a new hope. So this was my hope at Christmas, but I must tell you that I was not very good at creating a perfect holiday. I was much more creating a perfect mess. But fortunately, the cookie party arrived in my mailbox just in time, and it was my very last hope. It was a cookie exchange where I would bring cookies and then I would take home new cookies. And my daughter was always anxious to have me fit in with the other mothers. And she always hoped that I would be able to exhibit motherly characteristics that she could be proud of. So I hoped to impress her with my baking. But upon closer examination of this invitation, I discovered that each woman was to bake 24 dozen cookies. Yes, you heard me right. Not 2 dozen, not 4 dozen, 24 dozen, 288 cookies. Now, the only cookies I had ever baked in my entire life before this moment, I had sliced from a roll. But I was not concerned because I had a cookbook. Now, I had never actually looked inside this cookbook, but I was certain that I would find a recipe in there with a chocolate chip in it, and when have you ever eaten anything when chocolate chips were involved that was not fantastic? So I found it, sure enough. Cookies, chocolate chip, and the killer of all ingredients, real peanut butter. Perfect. So I purchased the ingredients, and the night before the party, after dinner, I began to bake. Now see, she laughs because she knows why that would be a problem. I didn't have a clue. I dressed my little daughter and I in matching aprons, put a Christmas CD in that stereo, and flipped the switch to the Cuisinart. And then I heard the most sickening whine. And when the smoke cleared, the Cuisinart had exploded, and there was nothing but a little apron in the floor where my daughter had once stood. Now, she was only 9 years old, but she knew that smoke was not supposed to be part of a cookie baking experience. So she had abandoned me to bake alone, and by midnight, I had proudly baked 10 dozen cookies. Only 14 more to go. Now, my family had tasted the first batch to come from the oven and had labeled these the worst cookies ever baked. So I waited till they were sound asleep and decided to taste for myself, and I discovered that that label, worst cookies ever baked, was clearly understated. These were not cookies to die for, my friends. These were cookies you could die from. I was panicked, but what does a perfectionist do in a moment like that? Do we quit? Of course not. We press on. So I continued to put batter onto sheets and shove them in the oven, and by 6:30 a.m., the baking was finally completed. So I pulled the cookies off the trays, put them into baggies, and tried to find a container large enough to transport 288 cookies to a party, and I found it. The Tupperware bowl. So I shoved the cookies in there. By now, it's time to actually dress for the party. I found the perfect jean skirt and a crisply ironed cotton blouse, grabbed that Tupperware bowl and headed out the door, and I didn't get to the end of my own front porch before I spied my neighbor. She waved and flashed a little smile on her way to the party, and I couldn't help but notice her outfit. It was a lovely, long, flowing Christmas skirt, and a matching sweater, and a necklace with red and green light bulbs that were flashing off and on. The outfit was horrifying enough, but what this woman had over her arm was actually terrifying. It was a sterling silver basket, decorated with holly and ivy, cascading down the handle and around the edge and trailing off behind. But I said to myself, you know, the woman is just a show-off. Because a perfectionist can't bear to come to a party dressed not appropriately, can we? And I didn't have another option. I didn't even have a Christmas pin to put on. So what could I do but press on down to the party? I entered and I decided, surely I will see other women dressed as casually as I, and I have never been more wrong in all my life. Every woman in that room was dressed in red and green. About that time, I saw the hostess giving me that crooked finger wave, beckoning me into the kitchen. And when I got in there, she asked if I would like to borrow a silver tray on which to place my baggies. Well, I can tell you that was a gracious offer I was not about to turn down. So I grabbed those cookies, put them on the silver, ran into the dining room, placed the cookies, hopefully hidden in the back where no one would know that I was actually the baker. And this dining table was a plethora of divine baskets. Each cookie was boasting taste bud euphoria. Mine were promising Pepto-Bismol. And the cookies were looking less like cookies and more like chicken nuggets with chocolate chips in them. Did I mention extra crispy? What would you do if you had baked those cookies? Right, I spied an armoire in the corner. I ran over there and tried to climb inside, thinking I can just hide out there till this party is over, maybe even till the entire Christmas season is over. But about that time, I heard the other women headed into the dining room, and that's when it dawned on me. Oh my God, we're gonna taste them. And before I could stop her, one woman had actually popped one of my cookies into her mouth. And I was expecting her just projectile spit it across the room. And God knows she wanted to, but she was far too polite. No, she didn't even spit the little nasty thing into her napkin. She smiled, actually. And she tried not to look shocked as she chewed. But she was looking around that room trying to figure out who had baked that nasty cookie. Now, if she'd been truly observant, she would have seen me over in the corner thinking this would be an excellent time for Christ to return. Since he didn't agree with my assessment of his arrival date, mercifully, the party was over. And I grabbed my cookies, put the new cookies into old Tupperware, and began the long, slow, sad walk home. And I was feeling mighty low, because perfectionists, you know, we don't like to fail, do we, Jackie? I had not only not baked a good cookie, I had not created a perfect Christmas, I hadn't done a single thing that would coax even the smallest smile from my new little daughter's face. And I was brokenhearted. And I had no way of knowing when I put my key in the lock of the door that a truffle from heaven was waiting just inside. Now, we know that truffles are chocolates, often gifts between lovers. But a truffle from heaven is a gift from the lover of your soul, placed into the palm of your life at the exact moment when you need it and when you least expect it. I stepped inside, my husband was standing in there. He took one look at the tears on my face and he didn't say too much. He just came over and he put his arm around me. He wiped my tears away and he said this, "I just want you to know I am so proud of you. Truffle number one." At about that time, a little girl came flying down the stairs. She'd heard me come in, and she saw the Tupperware bowl. And she gave me a toothless grin that said, "You know, you just might not be such a bad mom after all." Truffle number two. See, to this little child, I had become the kitchen magician. For I had transformed 24 dozen of the worst cookies ever baked, little dirt clods destined for the can, into 24 dozen miraculously delicious morsels. Now, what can we learn from a batter of botched cookies? A few things, I think. If you are a perfectionist, understand that failure will be one of the ingredients in your recipe for success. It's a part of it. Expect it. And when it comes, press on. And know this. When you place your gift on the table, not everyone will appreciate it. There's always going to be a critic. In your case, maybe you're going to give a speech, and they won't laugh in the funny places, and they won't tear up in the touching spots, and they won't give you the standing ovation that you'd hoped for. Or maybe you've written a book, and you've poured your heart into it, and you've sent it to a publisher hoping to receive a contract, but instead you've received one rejection letter after another. Write that book anyway and press on. Because there's always going to be people that say, "We set the standard, you know." We don't think so much of your Tupperware. We don't like that jean skirt either. When this happens, by all means, press on. Especially then, press on. Because the world needs more of you. If you are willing to put your heart into what you do, the eyes that really count, they will see. When your heart is in the batter, those eyes will notice. And you will be rewarded. And do not be at all surprised to open your palm and discover, placed there, in the moment you need it the most and expect it the least, a truffle from heaven just for you.